Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill here in the studio. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com is in. Dan is on the road, and I mean on the road. He's on his way. Now, I guess he's in Buffalo right now. So he's in Buffalo and then from Buffalo to Montana before with the Troy women's basketball team. So they play at Buffalo and at Montana during the week, and then in Tuscaloosa on Sunday. So, Dan is out for the week, but we've got it here on this bye week for Auburn. And is that like bye? It's bye-bye, really, for the 2024 season now. I mean, after a bit of excitement, thinking, oh, Auburn's found something, they've turned the corner. Well, they turned the corner and it was a complete dead end, or they turned the corner and it was the wrong way on a one-way street or something, because it right back to what we had seen before and the most futile offensive effort Auburn has had in a long time as far as scoring. Once again, Auburn moved the ball. Not great, but 100 yards more than Vanderbilt did on Saturday. And but only able to score 7 points. The last time Vandy held a team to, it had been a long time since Vandy had held a team to 7 points.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that it's been this long, how long, forever, whatever.
First time Vandy to win at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Ever.
Yep. And even the 7 points you talked about, Rivaldo Fairweather had to make an incredible catch.
He did.
And then break, I don't know how many tackles, but it was an incredible play, individual play by him. And I mean, Auburn just cannot find a way to finish games offensively. Or finish drives. Or,
right, absolutely.
It's like two different teams almost, because the defense keeps getting better.
It really does.
Intensity.
They would toughness. Play with fire. They play just like their coordinator, DJ Durkin, who has done a fabulous job.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Auburn gave up 17, but the last seven came after after looking back at it, I mean, there at the game, I couldn't tell exactly what happened to Jake Crawford. Have you looked at the video?
Yeah, he was. They grabbed his face mask.
Yeah, right? He was thrown to the ground by his face mask.
Yeah, and no call. Yeah.
And there was no offensive pass interference. Instead, it becomes the biggest play that Vandy had all day, and sets them up to Auburn. Still had forced to stop, set them up to kick a field goal when Keldrick Faulk, in his effort to try to block the kick,
right,
obviously committed the leverage foul, and that ended up resulting in their touchdown. But that the Auburn defense played so well.
They did.
I mean, they played better than they have played in quite a few of the ball games. With so many young players, they have gotten better. There is the progression, the development that everyone has been wanting to see. You're seeing it on defense.
Yeah, you are. And you're seeing another freshman, Amaris Williams, play his best game.
Yes.
I mean, it just keeps happening.
DeMarcus Riddick continues to get better and better.
Jay Crawford looks like a freshman All-American now.
Kinsley Fauston looks really, really good for the young guy playing more and more. Yep. Caleb Harris.
Yep.
Looks, oh, my goodness. Looks like he's really, really safety. Good. Yes. Yeah.
Great tackler.
Yeah.
Tremendous player.
There's so many things to be excited about there defensively. Offensively, it's the same thing. What happened to Auburn's we're going to stick with the run. We know we can run.
I don't know what happened.
Absolutely didn't do it. What happened to Jarquez Hunter?
I don't know. That's the weirdest thing.
He became
I've
a
seen.
Pass receiver in the second half, but he carried the ball twice, did not get a carry after the 10.5-minute mark of the third quarter.
Yeah. And I think, I forget, was it 20 plus carries in the second half against Kentucky? I believe it was.
May have been. And, so was he gassed a week later?
Yeah, I don't get that. That makes some bells ring in my head.
Oh, you're not kidding. What's going on there. The alarms.
Yes.
It's not just bells. They're sirens. Yeah. They're alarms.
But just the offense in general just seems flat, right? Not the intensity, not the get after it that you see on the other side of the ball.
No, not at all. I feel, and again, I'm not there. I don't understand how this whole thing goes, but it just still feels like it's been a very poor job of adapting to the personnel that you have offensively. It's as though, Hugh Freeze wants to run the offense that he hopes to run when he gets everybody, but he doesn't have them right now. And I don't know that offense, and I'm not 100% sure that offense is going to work has everybody.
I think Auburn's in a tough position now offensively. Because what do you do? Do you force him to hire a coordinator who will just undermine, and we know how that works. We've seen that fail time and time again.
It's extremely difficult. Right? You're right. It's extremely difficult when you have someone who has been the offensive guy. He has been the guru. He's been the play caller. Now, he hasn't said it, and if there had been a press conference today, I was going to make sure that someone, if they didn't ask, I would ask, who is calling the plays?
You Freeze is calling the plays.
I am convinced of that.
Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, it hasn't really been just laid out, this is it.
Well, that's because I think he wants to protect
himself.
And his coordinator, and give him credit, when I guess things are going well, wants to
heck, a coordinator doesn't have to be the play caller.
I know.
I mean, we've seen that at quite a few places. Lane Kiffin has an offensive coordinator, but Lane calls the plays.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing that I've had a couple of people today, and I don't know how good, this is that time when things aren't going well. Everybody hears, so and so saying this and that, and I don't put a lot of credence into that because I feel like I may know people as close or closer than some others do, but I do really feel that this is a very difficult time for head coaches in college football and in all sports.
It is,
because you have so much more on your plate than you used to. You didn't have to be concerned about NIL, about the transfer portal, about recruiting, retention of players. Yeah. Let me put it that way.
Which is happening now.
It is unbelievable how much has to be done by the head coach. And the head coach also had better be the point of the spear with the big money that you need to be competitive in NIL.
Yep.
And what does that do? That takes time away from being what Hugh Freeze has always been and wanted to be, and that is a relationship coach.
Yeah, and a play caller.
How can he spend as much time with his players and with his coaches and in coaching meetings if he's having to be dealing with all the other stuff?
Yeah.
I think it's got to make it much tougher to be a play caller if you're not there all the time doing that, because you need to be making sure that you're keeping players as happy as you can, you're keeping the boosters as happy as you can, you're keeping the money coming in.
Yeah. To me, the best way to coach right now is for your head coach to be a recruiter and a CEO, right? If you don't have a recruiter, you can't compete at the top of the
league. Right. Oh, I agree.
And then you've got to have trusted guys running the offense and defense. He's definitely found a trusted guy to run the defense.
Boy, you hope you can hang on to a DJ Durkin, I'm telling you.
And this is not a slight at his guys on offense, because I think he was running the offense.
No, they're his guys. Offense. They're guys that have been under him running his offense that he is calling.
Yeah, and I just don't know if you can be a team that he trusts somebody to run the offense without doing what Gus did, interfering with it or picking at it.
It's got to be extreme. It's got to be hard when that's what you've done.
Right.
So, I mean, I for the people that say, he just looks miserable or he looks sick, I'm sure, because
Auburn's 3-6.
Most of Auburn's fan base feels miserable and feels sick about this, and they're not the one who it's all on. It's on him. I can understand why you would be like that. And what do you expect him to look all fired up when you've lost six Auburn out of nine?
People deserve to be upset. There is no reason that a program with this much support, with this much money, should be going toward a fourth consecutive losing season. There's no way this should be happening.
Well,
there's a lot of people that you can place the blame on, and Hugh Freeze is one of those guys. He's the guy right now because he's in charge of it. But you can look back at a lot of people that have played a part in this, and it's just completely unacceptable.
You can. I mean, here's the bottom line is this team is more talented than a 3-6 team.
You're right.
This team, its record should be flipped. Auburn should be at least 6-3.
I mean,
they're as talented. Tell me the teams that Auburn is just less talented than that they've lost to. Georgia. For sure.
Yeah.
I don't know that Auburn's tremendously less talented than Oklahoma.
Maybe a little bit, but
maybe
won that
maybe
game.
A little.
Yeah. Certainly not California. Certainly not Arkansas or Vanderbilt.
No. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Auburn should, and they've lost so many of these games at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw where Ferg tweeted out that, you know, last year Auburn went on the road and beat Cal, Arkansas, and Vandy and scored 95 points in those three games. This year they lost to all three at home and scored 35 points.
That's insane. And this is a program that's given you 13 straight sellouts, I think it is now. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And supported the program in so many ways.
I feel like defensively, like we were talking about, I think DJ Durkin has taken what he has and has really made the best of it.
I agree.
And they have improved. Yeah. I think offensively, look, Auburn is obviously lacking. They're not the most talented team. But Auburn is not the least talented offensive team either. And, you know, one of the things that we have looked at for years is I think a lot of Auburn fans remember some teams that were out-talented but were scrappy and played their butts off and somehow found ways to win and took advantage of what
especially.
They could do.
Won the fourth quarter behind a great crowd and a great atmosphere, and everybody was into it. You know, they could see the team fighting for it, and that's just not happening right
now. If you have the leading rusher in the SEC,
he's
got to get the ball more than 12 times on a handoff.
Well, and then how is it that Cam Coleman dominates spring and preseason practice, okay?
He got, what, four targets the other day?
And then they can't get him the ball to make plays.
You've got to target. You've got to try to get the ball into the hands of your best players.
And I'm not saying Cam's been perfect, but he's a freshman.
It's like trying to keep everybody happy. We're going to spread things out. Well, that doesn't work. It hasn't worked. All right, we're just underway. Bill and Brian here in the studio, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number is 334-564-1840. We're with you until around 5:40 because it's the season opener for Auburn women's basketball tonight, and all those ball games are going to be right here on ESPN 106.7.
Yeah. Just left there. Could see them getting everything
absolutely.
Ready to go.
They're getting ready. So you've got about an hour and 25 minutes to join in. We've got calls holding. We'll get to our first break, so everybody has plenty of time when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 18 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Drew at the controls. We lost Marcus. Marcus, if you get a chance, give us a call back. So Hank is up first on the Drive hotline. Hey, Hank.
Well, how's it going, fellas?
All right.
Basketball season starts in two more days for the men and women's night, so there you go.
Couldn't get here soon enough.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, I was listening to the Brain Drain Saturday night, and y'all had a guy on there, Brian. He's a coach Ford, I think. But he was saying that he didn't really think that Vanderbilt was selling out to stop the run, that it looked like they were only putting five in the box.
Yeah, six, I believe, is about as much as you saw, unless it was short yardage.
Yeah.
Yes. So is it just a problem with our offensive line not getting a push? And I mean, what are y'all's thoughts on that?
I think that's a big part of it, at least against Vanderbilt. I didn't think the running backs, particularly Jarquez, ran very well. Didn't have his best game when he was in there.
Vandy is a big defensive front, and they are very well coached. Clark Lee is a really good defensive coach. Now, they're not the most talented defense that Auburn's going to play, but they don't make mistakes. We talked about it last week. They don't beat themselves, and they played that bare front where, I mean, they're lined up directly on Auburn's, you know, interior guys, and they really couldn't get much push.
I mean, I just thought they showed more effort, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to keep it real. Maybe that's not fair to say, but I just thought they did.
Is that why we're calling so few run plays? Because the ones we do call, I mean, we're not doing much with it?
I guess that may be it, Hank. But, I mean, I a couple of the folks that I was talking to, and I've heard more of the same since, is, look, one of the biggest questions that we've had about Auburn all year, and I know JG's asked this a couple of times, what is your identity? He's asked Hugh Freeze that. Yeah. Auburn does not have one offensively.
They do not.
I thought that they had decided they were going to run the ball after the Kentucky game. You look at what Vandy did. Vandy never wavered. They kept doing what they've been doing. Yep. It wasn't working, but they kept doing it. They kept doing it. They kept doing it. And then finally,
at the end of
they got something going. Auburn, it appears like they'll try something. If it doesn't work, well, forget that. We're going to go back. We're going to go back to the RPO, which has proven that it just doesn't work for this group.
Nope.
Yeah, and I don't know. I heard somebody say that almost it's like sometimes Hugh Freeze gets bored with the plays that are working, calling the plays that are working, and he calls something cute like, you know, Malcolm Simmons on a pass.
Yeah,
and
my goodness,
it's just a drive.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're 2nd and 20, and you're really, really behind the chains. I mean, I do feel like, you know, there's some coaches and I think Hugh's probably one of those that, I mean, oh, it's sort of boring to just get 4 and 5 yards here. I want a deep shot. I want a quick score.
Yeah.
And that's great if you've got the time to be able to do that.
They had Cam Coleman one-on-one on a third down set up perfectly.
You did.
He's underthrown by like 10 yards.
But that was also the play after Peyton got slammed on his shoulder.
It's just finding the worst time for something to happen. It keeps happening to this team.
The one early, the one to Luke Deal, that would have been about a 30 or 40 yard.
Yep.
That would have been a 30 or 40 yard gain.
I'll ask you one more question, then I'll get off of here. And by the way, I listen to two Auburn podcasts religiously every week. It's the Rundown and this when I can't catch it live. So I appreciate what y'all do. But Brian, you were talking about even when Hugh gets the guys, you're not sure that the offense that he wants to run is going to work. Could you speak more to that?
I think it's fair to have that concern from what we've seen.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't know that what was so good 10 years ago, 8 years ago, still works as well, even with great players in this conference. I could be wrong, but it just concerns me. Right?
Sure.
I don't see, like in this offense, I don't see Auburn getting better at all. I don't see any progress during the season, from last season. Everything to me on offense looks more like a step backwards.
Well, it looks like it's something that the defenses are very ready for.
Yeah. Now, that's
a concern. And maybe,
with the right quarterback, the right tackles. Mm-hmm. You know, another year of experience, you know, maybe it looks a lot different and maybe I'm wrong, but I think it is fair to have concerns about it and not be sure about what's going to happen.
I will, and I've expressed the same feelings a couple of times, Hank, but I will say there are times when you see guys open out there and it's not always Peyton's fault that he doesn't get him the ball. Sometimes it is, but other times
even the throw to Rivaldo was not the best throw.
No, but I mean, there are invariably too many guys in the backfield, too many opposition. There are too many defensive guys
quickly
penetrating.
Too.
Yes.
I mean, they're right.
And that's something. Auburn has been just atrocious at pass pro.
Yep.
And I mean, when you want to run an offense that likes to take some shots, your quarterback's got to have time to be able to see those receivers as they try to break free downfield. Appreciate the call, Hank. 334-321-1390. Millhouse is up next. Hey, Millhouse.
Hey, y'all stole a little bit of my thunder, but when everybody in the stadium knows we have to pass, we might as well quick kick because our tackle, a simple twist, and they're chasing ghosts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's but, just
I know Thorne, quarterbacks always get too much credit, too much blame.
Right.
But we know what he is, and he's not good. He's not going to be back next year. This season is shot. I mean, we could be 3-9, or this team could be 6-6. I do get that. But I say Holden hadn't got a shot. Hank's had one game. What would it hurt to play a guy that's coming back? Thorne, thank you. You're not playing again unless all of our quarterbacks that season ended injuries. Thank you for your time.
They need to try to win as many games as they can. But now I think we've reached that point where – maybe it is time.
Don't burn a red shirt. I agree with that.
Well, no, it's too late. I mean, look. I mean, even Walker could play now, and he wouldn't lose a red shirt.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I think he's the least likely because he's been running scout team. I understand what you're saying. I mean, it's really hard for a coach not to play the guy that he's just sure gives them the best shot. But man,
he must be a heck of a practice player.
No, you know, I guess it. Well, the thing is, in practice, they're not coming after him as hard. They're not
maybe
able to hit
they
him.
Need to change their practice habits.
Live bullets seem to affect him a lot more than the blanks. I guess they
yeah
have
yeah
on their
I guess the other thing is though, man, there's it seems like bullets are coming a lot faster at him than they do at a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, I got one more question. I'll let y'all go. To help on what Brian said earlier, our offensive line has gotten no better. Are we? I thought we might could get Matt Luke last year when he wanted to come back in, but I mean, we've got to do something because this is 10 games in, counting all the scrimmages in the preseason. Yep. We're like Brian, y'all said, we've gone backwards. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
I agree. That and quarterback are the biggest concerns for me on offense. 11 of the 16. Offensive linemen, I believe, were brought in by Hugh Freeze and his staff at least either at the end of 2022 or over the last year and a half.
I mean, tackles again. It's tackle is the biggest the biggest problem.
Yeah, and there may be some changes on the offensive staff. There may have to be.
Well, I think there'll have to be some changes.
And I know they're still pursuing a high school tackle. They're pursuing a JUCO tackle now, and they need to pursue at least one.
And they got, what, five committed?
Transfer.
Five offensive linemen committed.
Yes.
But most of them are interior guys.
Yeah. I just don't – that one I'm just shaking my head about. I don't understand it. They should be signing extra tackles because a tackle can always slide inside and play guard if they don't maybe have that great quickness, you know, if they have a little problem. With that, but it's really hard to get a guy who's a center or guard body to slide outside and be really effective.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Inspector is next. Hey, Inspector.
Hey, guys. Sounds like we're on the same page now about this offense.
Well, I mean, I had for some ridiculous reason a glimmer of hope after the Kentucky game. I know Brian was very. Very cautious
skeptical.
About that. Yeah, very skeptical.
You know, I had Vanderbilt picked, and I had the whole thing wrote up. I don't believe they're going to run it. You know, I'm not buying it. And then I changed it.
Auburn, I believe the number is. I can tell you right now. Auburn handed the ball to its backs 21 times in the game. Mm. 21 rushing attempts to your backs in the ball game. That it should have been at least 50% more than that, probably close to double that.
Yeah, especially coming off what you accomplished the week before.
Brian, did you say you picked Vanderbilt?
I initially did, and then I changed my mind because I chickened out. So that's on me for chickening out.
Way to go, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, see, now the only time I picked I picked Georgia. But, I mean, I picked against Auburn with Kentucky because I said, oh, they're not going to change. They did change against Kentucky, so what did I do? I picked Auburn against Vandy. So I'm off.
Bill, listen there. You know the difference between the Kentucky game and the Vanderbilt game on offense?
Well, there are quite a few things different. What was the thing that
– The reason why we were so successful against Kentucky, we had two tight ends playing H-back. And I did not see that formation at all in the Vanderbilt game where we had both tight ends in the game.
You know, that I'll have to go back and look at it, but you're right, I don't recall that as much. I mean, what we did see the difference this time is Auburn going with two backs in the backfield when we'd see an awful lot of Damari Alston and Jeremiah Cobb in their lineup with Peyton.
Yeah, well, are you counting Deal as a back?
No.
Mm-mm. You remember that play that he was standing next to our quarterback?
Peyton, yeah.
Hey, when he was standing next to Peyton on the right side, and Hunter was on the left side, and Deal was supposed to be the lead block, but he ended up running behind Hunter and not blocking anybody.
Now that would have been interesting. Just give the ball to Luke and let's see how things go. Goodness,
absolutely.
Goodness, but anyway, it is just a mess. The offense is just a mess.
Well, I see we got one freshman in there, Joyner, and it seems like he's working out pretty well. But I don't know what's going on with the rest of the guys. But
Connor Lewis had a pretty solid year. Yeah. He had a bad game a few games ago, but I really like Auburn's situation there at center.
And I think Braden, that was probably his toughest game so far. He's been playing well, but that was probably his toughest game.
But this is what Coach Spector would do. I'd put back in those H backs and give the line some help. And then I'd put in Hank Brown and start giving him some work against ULM. If he does a good game, I'd start him against A&M.
Well, heck, I tell you, whoever the quarterback is deserves to first be in there with a game that's being called focusing on the running backs and running the ball. And then I would run play action off the run as opposed to trying to leave it to the quarterback to determine whether he's going to run or throw.
If it's third and eight, either punt or run the ball. I mean, just don't get Auburn killed, right?
I agree with you, Bill, on the play action. Absolutely. All right, guys, I got to go.
Appreciate the call, Spector. We're at the bottom of the hour. Need to get to our break. We've got more calls. We will get right back to them. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Full bank of calls, and let's get back to them. And Brett is up first. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. I was able to – I sat in different seats. I sat up high in the end zone.
I was going to say, that wasn't you up on the scaffold or anything, was it? So.
No,
did you see that guy?
That guy was actually behind me. Yeah, I saw him many times. Yeah, but Brian, you're right. I mean, the offense has gotten worse from last year. I mean, and there's no question. You know, people can talk stats, but quarterbacks just have to make a play. There was some guy, and I don't remember his name, but he goes through online and shows, you know. Besides the Deal pass being missed, the Cam Coleman pass being missed, the 4th-and-3 pass, not only was KLS open, the guy inside him was, you know, very open.
Yep.
And then one time on a 3rd-and-2, we run some type of option. Well, Thorne pitches the ball 3 yards before he even gets to the defender.
Yep.
And if he cuts it up and makes the guy play him, Jarquez easily makes it. I mean, that's 4 possessions right there that you kill. And I guess how many Auburn have? Like about 13 possessions or something?
Yeah,
like
they
that?
Didn't have near as many. They had a whole lot in the first half because there were so many 3-and-outs on both sides. But I think they had 5 in the second half.
Well without even going back and reviewing film, which I'll be dang if I'm going to do after a game like that.
Yeah, no kidding. I did force myself to watch it since I'd seen it live. I wanted to see what it looked like, you know, on TV.
But. Your possessions where you just kill the drive. I mean, quarterbacks can't do that. And, you know, I know he's a great guy and all that, and that's good. But Auburn's play calling, I mean, I'm not going to say it's the best in the world, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the plays we call. I mean, to be honest,
most of the time, I mean, I'm not crazy about the reverse pass to Malcolm. in that situation.
Well, okay, yeah, yeah. There are a couple of stupid ones every time.
Yeah.
But I get. But Bill, how long have you been going up to watch games at Auburn?
Over
what year did you start going to games?
1975. Yeah, 1970.
Okay. I started in 69.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, this is some of the worst on-field coaching.
Absolutely.
I've ever seen. But the 12 people on the field, those things, I mean, you should have somebody in the booth and
that,
on the field.
That wasn't a 12th guy trying to get off the field. Did you notice that?
No,
that
no.
Those guys lined up to play.
Yeah, that's 12, and we're going to play with 12. So, you know, somebody needs to be counting them every time they go in and off. And if you can't count the players on the field, then you don't need to be there.
No, there's something. I mean, I still don't understand calling timeout with 2:01 to go. You know, when you're a second away from the clock stopping.
You did say that was a mistake after this.
That definitely was.
But the game was not going to change.
Probably not.
A mistake is standing near the curb and slipping and falling off. That's a mistake. That right there was a blunder. It has nothing to do with a mistake. That's just not being wise. I'm not going to say what I really feel like. He's not very wise.
Hey, Brent, we've been on the air 40 minutes and we haven't even mentioned special teams.
Oh, I know. We were just, phenomenally bad.
I mean, I've been calling for 3 weeks in a row. And you know what? I'm going to give them credit. We didn't hold on the dang kickoff.
We did not try to run a kickoff back.
Big step forward. I should be writing about that.
Yeah. And actually, one went out of bounds, so we got the ball at the 35. So that's better field position than we ever get.
So in one area, we got better. But, special teams. But you know, of course, the punt return was set up prior to when we had 12 people on the field and we just kill ourselves.
Hey, their punter was phenomenal. When the ball game was tied at 7, I said the most valuable player in this game is their punter.
Yeah.
He was. Lord knows, Oklahoma punter, we need him to play quarterback. I bet he can kick it to our guys better than we can throw it. But
well, the one thing he could have done, I don't know if you've looked at it, but on their last punt, he could have run for 30 or 40 yards. There wasn't anybody that was looking at him as he held the ball after that timeout with 2:01 because it took 13 seconds for the play to be dead after the ball was snapped.
Yeah. One of y'all also said something that wasn't Jarquez didn't run the ball. Well, once again, I was sitting up high and you could see everything developing. There were three times in the first half where he got the ball heading right, and there was a big fold to his left. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about way left. I'm talking about if you're running off right tackle, in between the guard and where the center is, had a big hole. I mean, plant your foot and go up. Maybe he just doesn't see things like that. I don't know. I mean, and Lord knows I'm not going to dog Jarquez because he's about all we got, he and KLS. But anyway, y'all have a great day. I guess we'll just endure this a little longer.
It's almost. I said that's the best thing is it's almost over.
Yep, basketball and then baseball, which is going to be improved. I'm just going to say it. I'm definitely. I'm putting my reputation.
Believe
on it. Baseball is going to be better.
334-321-1390. Cameron is next. Hey, Cameron.
Hey guys, what's up?
Another Monday. We've gotten. Sadly, we're
wrong kind of Monday.
We've had a few of these.
Yeah, I believe, guys. I think the problem for this Auburn offense is Peyton Thorne. I mean, that's just my opinion on that. But he can't seem to navigate in tough spots.
Well, I think you're right on that. That is where Auburn struggles the most, when it is a critical moment in the game on offense, when you've got to make a play, whether it's quarterback, whether it's this left tackle, whether it's a receiver running the wrong route or maybe not making a catch. They just seem to always mess up at the worst possible time.
And then put themselves in obvious situations. I was impressed a couple of the times with the quick passes to Why didn't Auburn do more of the quick stuff to like Malcolm or to a Rivaldo or somebody where you can get 5 and 6? I'm happy. I'm thrilled if you can get 5 yards on a play as opposed to taking a chance on something that might get you 20, but more likely is going to get you nothing or negative yards.
Yeah.
Got about 3 more weeks of this, and then we can move on to basketball.
Oh yeah, well you can move on to basketball right now. I mean, you know, you got then you'll have 3 more games because it's very, very unlikely Auburn's going to get to play more than 3 more football games.
ULM, is that the next game?
Yes. ULM? Yeah, week from Saturday, and they're not bad. I mean, heck, Auburn can lose to them. There's no question about that.
I felt really good about this season.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. I mean, the talent is better than a year ago. The defense, you know,
better
the defense
and getting
is
better.
So much better. They're getting better week by week. I mean, defense wasn't bad last year, but I mean, they're really improving. And the offense should be. There's no way the offense should be worse, but they are.
Yeah. Well, here's something with Peyton Thorne. When you look at just the basic numbers, 20 of 29. For 239 yards, 1 touchdown, no interception, you feel fairly good about
good.
That.
Yeah.
Solid. 0 of 2 for throws beyond 20 yards. On the season, he's 13 of 34, 38% from any throw that was beyond 20 yards. So that big play element, that making the play down there in the red zone or getting close to the red zone, that's just not happening in Auburn's offense right now.
Although, if I'm not mistaken, now I mean, if you're 40%, you're not bad on throws of over 20.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I think the game has changed a little bit. You're just not seeing as much of that as you used to. It's I think you used to see a little more than you do now. I think if you're around 50 on throws of over 20 yards, you're great. I mean, that's because that's a risky thing to be doing.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call, Cameron. 334-321-1390. Who was up next?
Casey
is next. Hey, Casey.
Guys, it's been a season of epic failures of mass proportion.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, my goodness. I mean, the home losses is what's just it's almost mind-numbing to think that Auburn's lost 8 home games now in the last 2 years, and they've I don't think it's going to stop at 8.
Yeah. You know, I never thought that we'd be here in November, and Auburn still hasn't developed an offensive identity.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just mind-numbing, and honestly, the bottom line is we have terrible coaching on offense. We have, it looks like, a different scheme or scripted plays every, you know, quarter and a half, and then we go back to just, it just seems so random. There's no pattern, you know, there's not a lot of plays that, you know, play off another play. You know, in the Kentucky game, I always feel like, and y'all may think I'm crazy, we're more successful running the ball in his type of scheme with Damari Alston. And when we went into, kind of like when I called the last time, I was saying we should basically have loaded backfield with Jarquez, have Simmons coming on the wing. I feel like we should have stayed in that and had several plays and maybe 1 or 2 RPOs off of it. But it's just something different every week, and it's just terrible. It's just like watching your friend drink too much alcohol and get sick on a corner of the street. It's just like there's nothing you can do about it. He's on his own, but then he's not doing anything else to help himself out. You know, and I'm sorry, Hugh Freeze may be a great recruiter. You know, maybe he should legitimately go find someone who knows how to coach the offense, because it does not seem like he has that ability at this point. And, you know, say what you will about the line, they're not the best line in the world. And then we've got injuries on top of it with Tutal just struggling all season. But he also struck out on the evaluation of the kid from Mississippi State.
Well, I think he was sort of the last chance. I mean, they'd gone after a couple of guys. I've mentioned Fernando Carmona at Arkansas. They really, really wanted. There were a couple of guys they wanted. I don't think Percy was at the top of the list. But what has been the most disappointing to me is that what I feel are good offensive coaches find ways to hide or disguise the weaknesses, play to the strengths of the offense. I don't feel like Auburn's done that.
No, he's a lot like Gus. You know, I'm going to run my scheme, and we're going to run it my way. It's going to work my way, or, you know, the highway. And so the highway has ran him over. You know, he ran out in front of an 18-wheeler this year. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like a person in that type of leadership position is dangerous, because you've got to have someone at this level, especially if you're doing a rebuild. I mean, unless there's some conversation behind the scenes where it doesn't matter what your record is, which we all know that's not
true.
Yeah,
that can't be. I mean, yeah. Well, I mentioned it right at the top of the show. I mean, I think there's too much. He's trying to juggle too many plates right now.
I just think he's in over his head. Back in the SEC, I mean.
No, he's not over his head in recruiting. I can tell you that. I mean,
yeah,
and I think he's.
So I agree there, and that's what I was about to get to.
He's done a really good job of getting the NIL, you know, helping get that support.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there's enough time or you know, enough whatever left to be able to be trying to call the plays.
Well, that's why that's another thing that comes to decision making. I mean, I know our first step is to go with someone we're comfortable with. But if we're just comfortable with someone and they don't have the acumen to call an offense, if Derek Nix is, you know, actually run the offense, it's just not working.
Yeah, I don't see Derek Nix. I mean, he may be coordinating, but right. I don't think he's the guy.
There's just too much at stake for us to be not offensively competent in the 2-year mark.
Auburn has more talent than a lot of the teams that are scoring a whole lot more points than they are.
Yep.
And it's hard to give someone a pass on that. I mean, we're basically dog Brian Harsin. He wasn't that great, but honestly, you go back and look, I think he wins more games than Hugh this year, just to be honest. I hate to admit that.
Harsin was 9-12 when he was fired on Halloween of 2022.
Hugh
Freeze is 9-13 now.
Yeah, I mean, look, and he's got the talent at receiver now. It's just the scheme isn't working. I mean, it's not working. He's not doing a good job scheming up the offense. It's subpar. It's an F. And I will say this. I want to make sure everybody knows DJ Durkin has had a defense. And I'm talking about some guys in that secondary who are absolute warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I have watched Auburn brilliantly just make some of the best defensive plays on knocking the ball away,
playing great,
following the ball. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I hate to say it, doom and gloom, if we do let him go, I'll be good with DJ Durkin. And I will just say this will be my last statement. Auburn has always been successful when we've had a defensive coach at the helm.
Yeah, I was talking about that over the weekend. Appreciate the call. Casey, I was talking about that with a couple of folks over the weekend. That's been Auburn's
Tubbs.
Most success.
Yep.
Coach Dye. Sean Jordan.
Chizik.
I mean, Chizik. It's been defensive coaches who have an offensive, who, you know, when their offense is clicking, they're really good. Now, it doesn't mean the defensive guys call the plays either, but it's generally been more defensive-minded coaches. People go, oh, you got to have an offensive-minded coach. George is doing okay.
Yeah. Well, the thing with I like most about Durkin is just how many players on his side of the ball have gotten better from September to now.
You realize
it's amazing.
Here's one, and I know we've got to get to break. In SEC games only, Auburn is second in the SEC in total defense and in scoring defense.
How about that?
We'll be right back.
Lights out.
Right back with more of your calls here on the Monday.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Let's get right back to the phones before we run out of time here in hour number one. And Dak's been hanging on for a while. Hey, Dak.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
All right.
Good. Before I get to the negative, I do want to say positive. The defense, man, has gotten so much better since day one and playing their tails off. And, you know, to come back each week and do what they do and don't have nothing to show for it, I know it's hard. But that goes to a lot of credit to Durkin, man. What a great job. He keeps those guys going. Yeah, I think the special teams really failed us this past week. I think if you had to nail the number one reason why we lost that ball game is because of special teams.
Yep.
You know, and you don't want to blame one person, but and the kicker is killing us. That's probably at least three games, if not four, that really changed the outcome of the games. I do blame at this point if he's still kicking next week. Then I blame Coach Freeze on that. At this point, he should be changing kicker, no matter if it's the fifth walk-on. You got to give somebody else the opportunity. You can't just keep running a guy out there
They're in a tough position
They are. And I mean, Towns has got he's got tremendous ability.
Potential.
Right now, you've seen this happen to kickers. I mean,
he's in a slump.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he was not expecting to play this year.
He was
preparing to redshirt. And be a future Auburn starter.
Dak, can you hang on? Because, I mean, we've got the music playing. We've got to get to break. I'd love to hear some more of your comments.
Sure.
All right. We'll be back. We got a full bank of calls when we come back in a couple of minutes here on the Monday Drive.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Second hour of the show brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. You can join us on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390, or you can text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, and that number is 334-564-1840. Dak hung on with us through like the entire break, and we lost him right as the music was starting for hour number two. Dak, I understand. I mean, if you couldn't hang on, if you get a chance, give us a call back. We will we'll get to the phone. Before we do, though, we're going to get to Terry here momentarily. We had a caller ask. Was talking about kickers. And I remembered a couple of walk-on kickers wearing numbers in the 90s back in fall practice. I don't know if they're still, you know, with the team.
They're on the roster still.
Okay, well, that's good.
Eon Vachon, maybe?
Vachon, wasn't it?
Transferred from Birmingham Southern.
Yeah, so you would think he may have had an opportunity to kick.
He was there 2 years. He was one of two on field goals and two of four on extra points. And then the other one is 93, Charlie, I think that's Schwinger, possibly.
Uh-huh.
He is a walk-on from Houston, Texas, sophomore. I don't think he's kicked in a game before that I know
probably
of.
Probably just kicked in high school. But, I mean, you wonder, if you've still got those guys, you might. I mean, I'd absolutely let Towns keep kicking off. He kicked off very well on Saturday. But, you might have to rethink your field goal kicking. If it's a longer field goal, either punt or go for it.
Yeah.
And if it's a shorter field goal, maybe if you have some other options, things like that.
And Alex.
Let's face it, Alex
had a setback.
Man, it's been a miserable year for him. I mean, people talk about miserable year for Auburn football. It's nothing compared to what Alex McPherson's had to go through.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just I don't need to hear. He needs to suck it up and get out there and kick. It's like, no, come on. This is serious health issues that he's dealing with.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Terry gets us started this hour. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Brian. How y'all doing today?
All right.
Good. I'm not going to ask how y'all doing because I know how you're probably doing.
No, that's all right.
I've been ranting for the past hour and a half.
Yeah. No, but actually, I'm pretty good other than the football team playing terribly, yes.
I mean, it's pretty bad when I want to turn into a basketball school, right? We're Duke or North Carolina now.
I'm afraid,
And that's being generous.
I think Auburn would take Duke or North Carolina right now in their heyday, right?
Yeah,
right.
Make a little run here. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. You're talking about the kicking. I mean, what's the situation with Alan McPherson? Is he done for the season now? Is he done? I mean, is he not dressing out anymore?
Well, he did not dress out for the game, but he was out there with his teammates as he's been all season.
He had dressed out the week before. Remember, he got a chance to get in and kick.
Yeah.
Well. a couple of weeks ago. So he had that opportunity, but I believe he's had another setback.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just it's really, really tough. I mean, he's a slight young man anyway, and he's had trouble getting up to slight. Let's put it that way.
So I don't know if he'll be back this year.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd kind of be doubtful on that, I'd be concerned about it, I guess. That's the way to put it.
And do you guys think that Hugh Freeze is doing the things he's doing because of maybe not pursuing another quarterback in the transfer portal at all? I mean, is there anything to that, do you think? I mean, he's stuck with Peyton Thorne, who has proven to be a mistake in that area.
I think he recognizes it.
Great numbers, but quite honestly, he's just not a winner. He's just not. He's a 20 yard line to 20 yard line quarterback. Puts up great numbers, but doesn't put up points.
Well, yeah, Terry. I still don't think that the personnel on offense, including Peyton, is being used to the best of their abilities.
Right.
I agree with that.
There are things they can do. Brian and I were talking here during the break. You know, I guess it's maybe to protect him, but we haven't seen as many called designed runs for Peyton this year as we did a year ago. Now, you don't want him carrying the ball 15 times a game, but my goodness, he's been hitting off a lot when he's not being called to run. But again, this team, I just don't feel like this roster has all the talent that Hugh Freeze is looking for to run the offense that he's trying to run.
And I think, in answer to your question, I don't think there's an ulterior motive behind Hugh Freeze playing Peyton.
No.
I think he just believes he's the best quarterback Auburn has right now, which I think says something about the roster Auburn currently has at that position, which is an issue. And I'm not sure I don't agree with him. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with him anymore. I'm sort of thinking now, with the record, with the season, maybe it is time to give another guy a shot. Maybe it's Hank Brown time again. I don't know. I'm just not sure. We haven't reached that point, but we'll see.
Well, with that said, Do y'all think the wheels have already started turning for the portal for next year?
Oh, you better believe it has. Yes.
And that's really the interesting thing, because we don't know. I'm talking to, you know, we, the non people and the people that aren't in the building there, and I don't know how much they know or how sure they are of who's going to be in the portal, but people are saying, well, we just got to go out and get this year's Cam Ward. Well, who is that? I mean, yeah.
I don't know yet, but
yeah.
If there's one out there, buddy, they better go.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's easy to look, and now what Cam Ward's doing in Miami, and say that, and then to do it. It's much easier to say than do it.
Of course, there were a lot of Auburn people going, you know, that Auburn missed the boat when they didn't get Brock Vandegrift. Well, I don't know about that one. I mean, so you gotta hit the right one.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, hang in there, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, Terry. 334-321-1390. Reminder, we're only on for about another half an hour, because Auburn women's basketball this season is now going to be right here on ESPN 106.7. Their season opener tonight, and we will leave the air in time for that. So let's get right back to the drive hotline, and Philly Fanatic is up next.
Hey, I just want to say something about Alex McPherson and his diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome, also called spastic colon. I had it, and it's a collection of symptoms with no known cause, treatment, or prevention. I lost 40 pounds. My wife had to drive me around to the university, and it was, like, really hard for even me to get up in front of a lecture.
I'm sure.
I started at 180 and went to 140. It looks like McPherson started at 140 and then went to 100.
Yeah, he was maybe 155, maybe, at his heaviest.
Well, I don't see him coming back. I hope he does. But, I mean, I went to gastroenterologists all over, UAB and Emory. They ran all these tests. I mean, it was just, people saw me and they thought I had stage 4 pancreatic cancer because I was just wasting away.
He lost 55 pounds. He went from 165 to 110. That was over the summer.
Yeah. It gets in your psyche. How could you kick a field goal if you just have no confidence at all?
Yeah, no kidding.
But you can do anything. Anyway, we'll switch off from that. As far as a quarterback, they're going to have to take a check, put a two on it, and put seven zeros behind it. I mean, there's no way that they're going to get anybody for less than $2 million. And if somebody,
well, you know what, we're hearing Joe that they've got the wherewithal. It just depends on. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, another thing is, I'll just quick. The people that are hurting just as much as the fans are the mom and pop small business owners in this Lee County, because if they don't make money during the football season, some of them could go broke.
Yeah.
And we saw that years ago, and they're going to go to the mayor. And of course, the mayor was, he was a businessman. He knew all about it. And mm-hmm. he's going to go to the chairman of the Board of Trustees, which is Bob Dumas. Bob was a banker. I've known him for 45 years.
Oh, yeah.
If the bankers are holding the mortgage on a company that goes broke, then they lose. And then you've got the strip malls that are not filling up. And I see it in the, you know, everybody says the stadium is sold out, but in fact, it might be sold out, but they're not showing up. I'm on the 40-yard line halfway up, and I've got vacant seats all around me.
Yeah, I will say this, though. I'll credit the fans. It's been better than I would have thought at 3-6, but there are also an awful lot of folks that are getting out as quick as they can. If they do come, they're getting out quick as they can. They're not hanging around and spending money.
Yeah,
that's really tough. But anyway, good to hear from you. And that's basically what I
said. Man, great stuff. Great hearing from you. 334-321-1390. Who is up next?
Uncle Ollie.
Hey, Uncle Ollie.
How are y'all doing?
All right.
Oh, God, I'm going to try to keep this positive, but I know it's going to end up negative. So, first of all, I'm concerned that, well, let me start here. So, I've got a relative that has coached football for 40 years,
mm-hmm.
and he says the problem is our offense is too involved with let the quarterback make the decisions, that we need to call a play and run the play instead of letting the quarterback decide, does he go to, you know, whatever his call.
You know, Uncle Ollie, I'm glad to hear you say someone who's been coaching football mm-hmm. feels that way, because that's the way I've felt all year long.
Yeah. I mean, he said, and he calls me frustrated after every game, saying, "I don't get it. Do not put it in the quarterback's hand."
Right.
Just call
the
plays.
Call the plays. And I think, you know, because you're putting so much more on the quarterback when you're doing that. And it's also, it's much more difficult to determine who messed up, too. It's like, well, was it the call? Was it the decision? Was it the, you know, the read? I mean, so, yeah.
Well, it's like he said, the quarterback's got to make 5 decisions in a split second. Just call the play based on the defense. Just call the play. Don't leave it in the quarterback's hands to decide this RPO stuff, because it's not working. And that kind of goes back to what somebody said about, you know, maybe, you know, times have changed and you can't do that anymore.
I
don't have that.
Don't disagree at all with that.
Maybe he gets better quarterback and better tackles.
Yeah, maybe he gets the perfect guy for his offense and it clicks.
Or maybe he's lost it. I just don't know.
But the sad thing is, though, next year, so are we going to find that perfect guy?
You better.
Here's my other thing. I've been buying 10 tickets since 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in that 35 years, I've honestly thought, do I do this again next year?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the stock market. You hold on because you know it's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so
You've never had a depression last this long, though, since you've been doing it, since you and I've been doing it, Molly.
And I'm not one of these guys that just buys these tickets and don't go or sell them. I go. Mm-hmm. I go to every game, and I sit there, and when I walk out, I'm thinking, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yep.
I'm spending $9,000 a year.
Yeah. I mean, you got to pay for
almost 10. Yeah,
to watch Auburn win, what, 6-8 games the last 2 years at home?
Yeah.
Auburn's 5-8 at home the last 2 years. Jeez. 5-8.
Exactly. And so you got guys like me, and I'm not super rich, but I've been blessed enough that I love Auburn.
And we worked a long time for it, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I sit there and I walk out every game, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking, I'm not getting a return on my investment.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, but again, it's like the stock market. Do you sell or do you hold?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you sell in 2 years, you know, they're playing for a national championship. And so that's the dilemma. And it's frustrating because I was such a Hugh Freeze fan. And I still want him to do well. But good gracious, it's getting so frustrating. And I'm to the age now, I'm like, is this really worth it? Am I just like, is my investment worth it?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Anyway, I appreciate y'all letting me vent.
Oh, that's what we're here for, Uncle Ollie.
By the way, I'm changing sports this week. I think I told you before, but I'm flying to Houston Friday.
Oh, wow. Great. That's going to be
I'm hoping I'm going to see a hell of a basketball game because. So anyway, y'all have a good
enjoy.
Good night.
Good hearing from you, Uncle Ollie. All right, let's get to our first break. Back with more of your phone calls. Again, we've got about 20 minutes left here on the Monday Drive.
Don't buy the lie. This is Lee County District Attorney Jessica Venturi with tips to help keep your identity and finances safe from scams.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And, hey, tomorrow is Election Day.
Yes.
So
I've heard of that.
Yeah, so after you cast your ballot, you can definitely want to tune in to News Talk WANI for a general election coverage with Ben Taylor and Riley Hubbard starting at 7 o'clock. And that is presented by Jeff Goat Trent Funeral Home, Lee County Revenue Commissioner Olene Price, the Orthopedic Clinic, State Senator Randy Price, Autosport Body Works, and Turner Auto Group. That's tomorrow, 7 to 10 on News Talk WANI. Let's get right back to The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Brian. I've been screaming it all year, is Peyton Thorne's accuracy. If you look at the plays, I mean, when it is a deep ball, I mean, how many times has he thrown to number five when he's got the guy beat on the right side, and he throws it inside and short? And on the Cam Coleman on the left side, he wasn't getting hit in the end zone. He threw the ball, and he threw it way short.
Now, no. He was hit the play before is the one I was talking about.
But what I'm saying is
he threw
the ball. He threw the ball. If he throws a good pass in the last game, he had Cam Coleman at the end of the game, had the guy beat, and he threw it way short. And then the guy came back, and when Cam came back to get the ball, the defender got there and knocked it away. It's like he underthrows balls. Even number five on a touchdown pass he caught two games ago, he threw it too short, and number five came back and made a great play up over the defender. But that should have been an easy touchdown pass. And then on the third and four right before the field goal, he threw it to Rivaldo. and he was covered, but 14 was running to the right and would have probably had a good chance to make the play. It was wide open. I mean, he had a defender coming, but he was the open guy. It seems like he doesn't check down to open guys. There have been so many plays this year where he's throwing to one guy. It's like he makes his mind up, but there's another guy that's running a slant or on the other side and is wide open, but he just doesn't turn to look. But then when he does make the throw, he threw one across the field to 13, I think it was, going to the left, and he threw it behind, and then he ended up the ball got knocked out of his hand because
it was definitely a late throw and it was behind him. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and then Cam Coleman there was one play at the end of the game where he was open and he threw it, but he threw it to the inside. And the defender got there and knocked the ball out of his hand. Yeah. If he had thrown it to the outside, he could have caught it and protected, you know, with his body.
Why is Auburn throwing the ball so much though, Pat? I mean, Brian and I were looking at this. Auburn's running backs carried the ball 21 times for 97 yards.
Yeah.
Man, you're averaging almost 5 yards a rush in the ball game. You need to run it twice as much.
Yeah, well, somebody made a comment that that Jarquez was gassed, and I'm like, he only ran it 12 times.
That was what you said, yeah.
Gassed.
Yeah, there's no way he's gassed with 12 rushes. So, but I guess my thing is when Hank got pulled, okay, he had one bad read where he threw it to the outside guy, the linebacker or cornerback bailed off and made the interception on the sideline. He had the throw where he led the guy too much. And the guy dove and made the interception at the end of the half, but the guy didn't really catch it if you look at the replay, but that's fine. It was a great play by the defender. And that drops all the time for Peyton, and nobody says anything, you know, but the guy made a great play. So that's two interceptions. And then the other was a tip ball where it wasn't really a bad pass. Hank is an accurate quarterback. And I don't think, I think that Peyton has gotten locked in to his 6 years of doing the thing that he's going to pick his guy before the thing. He's going to throw it to him no matter what. And then he waits to throw it to him. And then he finally throws it too late. And then the guy's got to go reach back and make a great play. And I think that's his problem. His issues are burned into his brain and it's not going to be changed. And I just think at this point, you know, Hank had two or three bad passes in a half, but all the rest of the passes in the previous game were perfectly on target almost. So I just feel like at this point, just see if another guy can make more accurate plays. I think we have open guys, and the guys, when he throws it, are open. He just doesn't throw it to the spot where they're open. He throws it behind them.
Well,
and so that's what
I can't argue with that.
Yeah, and look, in the words of Elvis, it's now or never. If you're going to do it, you got an open date. Go ahead and do it now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Hey, War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Pat. Back to the phone. Dan is up next. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. I knew my brother was calling. he said a lot what I was going to say, but I will say this to the one caller that called and is thinking about getting rid of his tickets and stuff or possibly, you know, or even you know, just pondering on it. Look, I can say, look, the defense is good. And the defense is young as can be. And if we keep it together and the talent comes in, the defense next year could easily be a top 20 defense or better. And maybe we'll get those turnovers that'll help our offense out a lot. I mean, that's the one thing we're not really getting is the turnovers.
Right. But that is right.
I mean, our scheme is good. Our young players are good. Yeah. They're all getting better. I love the staff. I love what they're doing. I can see a bright, bright future there. You know, we just got to get the other two parts of the, you know, the football team working. You know, our special teams used to be the best in the country, and now they're not special
goodness.
At all.
They're not you know? Close. Yeah, no kidding.
You know, but, I mean, usually, you know, kickers, it gets in their mind and stuff. But I don't know. Hopefully that should turn around. But just don't give up on the team. I mean, don't give up on Auburn. I mean, we will get it turned around eventually. But recruiting's going to help a ton. But the defense... Man, I can see a lot of improvement there, and I feel great about that side of it. We just keep that going.
Yeah,
absolutely. Great stuff, Dan. And Brian pointing out that coming up tonight on Tiger Talk, DJ Durkin is one of the guests on Tiger Talk, which is coming up on Wings at 6 o'clock this evening. We'll get one more call before we get to our bottom of the hour break, and Alan is next. Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys. I hate to keep harping on the running game, but you just said it just a few minutes ago. I mean, how hard is it to, you got a hot running back, kind of found his groove last week. How hard is it to just, I don't want to say pivot your offense, but highlight the running game? Is it just can't do it or don't want to do it?
That's a great question, because it's hard to imagine you can't do it when the numbers say they're doing it. They just don't, they can't do it without the ball.
I mean, this analogy may not work because it's the pros. But you see the Ravens had a Hall of Fame running back drop into their lap last year. And, man, they're riding him for all he's worth, you got him, use him.
The thing is, you've got to adjust whatever, your offense or your defense, to feature your best players, to highlight those guys. And if you have some weaknesses, you don't want them, you don't want to show those up as much. You don't want them as prominent as your strengths.
Yep. And you don't want to play the Ravens in December or January.
Can't be that hard. All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Alan. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. A few more minutes. Again, we're going to turn things over to Brett Bowen, Dr. Larry DeShera, as Auburn against the Salukis of Southern Illinois right here on ESPN 106.7. But we've got one more segment, so stick with us here on the Monday Drive.